Okay, so I, what I want to do is, you know, Mary, before we started the recording here, you're kind of talking about, you were getting some other advice on running the business, and they wanted you to outsource everything first instead of having you kind of do it yourself. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and they in their package they have some stuff on how they do it, and you know, I haven't looked at everything they have, but you know, they only pay the individual after they bring in a deal. So
right.
You know, that's the whole philosophy. You're not just spending your money getting calls that really don't work. So yeah, that's part of it. And I'm going to look at their percentages. I want to understand all that, so maybe I can share that with the group as well when I understand all that stuff.
So did you take steps to do any automating with virtual assistants at all? I know that you're basically automating your yellow letters because you're
mm-hmm.
having the yellow letter company do those
Pat
for
Rive.
You.
Well, I've got the yellowlettermail.com. I've got that going. I've got to get them more names. All that stuff goes to Pat Live. I also have a VA, and the VA is just not working out very well. I'm paying her a lot. I'm paying her about $9,100 bucks almost every week and a half, and I'm just not getting good leads at all. All of them
say $91 to $100 every 2 weeks?
Yeah. It just, and I haven't really got good leads at all.
And what is your VA doing?
Well, she's making a lot of FISBOs. She's making a lot of phone calls, but she's not really getting anything. And so I need to turn that off. I know Vince has been he canceled Pat Live. And he's kind of doing it the other way. But I just don't feel that maybe she's talking to the person correctly. I don't know. It's not that I've had a whole lot more success, but I feel like a lot of other people that I've talked to, at least they think about entertaining a lease option, whereas I really haven't had that from her. I haven't had much.
Okay. Have you tried to pose as a seller to find out how they're talking to the people at Craigslist?
Talk to her or talk to the seller?
No. Have you tried to test your VA and see if how she's talking to sellers to give you an idea?
I have not.
And I guess and she's finding houses that are for rent or for sale on Craigslist, and then she's
for sale, FISBOs, yep, mm-hmm. And all, you know, not just Craigslist, other stuff she's finding as well.
Is she going to the for rent section at all, or just for sale?
I think she's just got, you know, I don't know all the sources she's using. Sometimes she says it's Craigslist, sometimes she just said it's other source, so. I don't know all the sources, but she spends a lot of time, and, you know, I just feel like it's kind of eating up my money, and I don't know whether I should retain her and try and work with her more, but I just haven't been very satisfied.
Okay, so here, basically, right now, it's a management issue,
mm-hmm.
So there's some things that you can be doing in order to got to figure out, is she contacting the people that she should be? Is she missing people that she shouldn't be missing? And how is she talking to them? So I wouldn't just assume that she's doing a bad job, or because here's the deal with Craigslist. What I found is I have a much better chance or much better luck going to the for rent section,
mm-hmm.
and seeing if they would be willing to sell. Then going to the for sale section and seeing if I can talk them into a rent to own.
Okay.
Because a majority, what I've found is you get a lot of sellers and they want to sell their house, they are thinking cash out. And so the prospect of doing a rent to own might not appeal to them, at least until they've had some time where it sits on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the house is for rent, then a lot of times you're going to find people that had tried to sell their house and they couldn't, and so now they're renting it because they want to ease the burden of the mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can approach them and say, hey, you know, I know you have it for rent, but I'm really looking to buy. Would you consider selling either now or in the future? then that you might have better luck to get those people on board with doing a lease purchase. So
okay.
So find out who she's calling, and then if you can, are you able to just talk to her on the phone and just kind of get an idea for what how
she's
approaching
this? I can do that. You know, I really haven't. I've been, you know, just shooting emails back and forth to her. So, but I could do that.
Okay, I would do that. I would ask her what she says on the phone and see if you can do a role play.
Uh-huh.
And kind of hit her with a few questions just to find out if, you know, it's possible that this particular VA is just brand new or in green and isn't good on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then even after you test her on the phone, what you might do is you might set up a dummy ad on Craigslist if you know that she's going there, and put your phone number and see if you can get a call from her.
Mm-hmm.
Or what you can do. Yeah, and then just propose as a seller. So I recommend doing that if you're having anybody take calls for you. Is just do a quick test to make sure that they're doing it how you want it to. And if they're not, then it's just a training issue, getting them back up to speed. Here's the whole deal with whether to outsource the stuff or do it yourself. I really think that it's important to outsource anything that when you want to take it to the next level, or you are not doing the marketing yourself. So when you're just getting started, I think it's really important. It's a good learning tool to talk to as many sellers as you can,
mm-hmm.
and spend more time on the phone yourself until you have more leads than you can handle, or you're missing business otherwise by doing it yourself, and then you can slowly start to outsource, because you're going to learn a heck of a lot by talking to somebody on the phone. And if you just get lots of repetition in there, you're going to become a better negotiator. You're going to be better at finding those motivations, those hidden motivations that a lot of new investors won't get.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be a lot more confident when you're giving kind of your presentation, you're pitching them on the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to close more, because you're going to have the confidence. And after you've been able to do it yourself, and you feel confident in doing that,
mm-hmm.
then you'll be able to train somebody else to do it for you. And ultimately, you know, in the end, I think that you definitely need to outsource all the stuff, because really your highest value, you get paid the most by sitting face-to-face with motivated sellers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what pays you the most money, when you can actually get a contract on the property. And
mm-hmm.
so the more time you can spend doing that, the better. And so if that means hiring VAs that you can train well, that you can monitor.
Mike, are you there? Sally?
I'm here. I wonder if he had a cell phone that died.
Mike? Should we wait?
Sure. Because he had a couple things in mind that he wanted to give us tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I was going to ask you.
I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
I talked to the guy. My source was going to try and get back today, and I don't think he was able to. So hopefully we'll have something tomorrow.
Because if they didn't accept the offer, then I'll go after another
back.
One.
Okay.
Sorry, my cell phone ran out of batteries, and so on.
Sally thought that might be the case.
So let me pick up where I was leaving off. So once you get to the point where you've got more leads than you can handle, and you realize that your time could be better spent talking with the motivated sellers face-to-face, then you can start training other people to do it for you. And you definitely want to outsource that. So, the hiring a good VA to do it, you still have to manage them, and that's the challenge. Because if you left somebody to their own devices, then they're gonna do kind of, you know, she's gonna do what Ron LeGrand's team has told her to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you might get on the phone call with her and find out that wow, she's really turning off sellers, or she's not asking the right questions. I would probably. Is she giving you any feedback for the number of callers that people that she's talking to?
Well, you know, I know I can go online and take a look. She's talking to a lot of people, though. I mean, that's how, you know, I'm getting maybe two leads, and but like I said, the leads are not, they're not good leads. You know, most of them are not free and clear. Most of them are, they're not interested in the lease option. They want top dollar. You know, it's just, they're, I don't know. That's why I felt like I had a lot more luck going with Pet Live, and, you know, I'm fielding the calls. Well, a lot more luck. I mean, I don't have any deals, Mike, but I just feel that I've had more people come back and be interested in a lease option, and sometimes it falls through. But at least there's that initial interest. You know, they want to hear more about it.
Okay. All right. So my thinking is, go back to your VA, see if you can find out what who she's calling, see if you can get her to talk to the for rent ads. I much prefer the for rent ads over the for sales when trying to do wholesale and lease options. And then see if you can do a role play with her on her script to find out if there's anything that she's saying which you kind of gasp at and go, gosh, this is not how we should have her talking to sellers. So,
okay.
And then at that point, just, you know, give it a couple of weeks and see if anything changes. I mean, because if you're paying $100 every 2 weeks, that's $200 a month. One deal can make you $3,000, $4,000, $5,000.
Yeah.
So right now, you know, at $200 a month, that's $2,500 a year. It's definitely worth it if she can bring in leads, because all she needs to do is bring in one seller a year that you close, and you've more than paid for it. So. I wouldn't give up on it, but at the same time, I would be making calls. I would, if I was you, I'd make calls yourself so that you can keep on honing that skill of talking to someone.
Yeah, I'm making a lot of. I'm trying to make a lot of calls, and I'm going to change it to. I need to, and probably after tonight, my hope is to start chipping away at another list. I need to get like another 1,200, 1,300 over to yellowlettermail.com that I have owed to me, because, well, I did 787 before. So whatever the difference is, you know, they'll do them for me at the 90, I forget what it was, 97 cents, I think, and ship them out to me, because I want to get, you know, I want to get both free and clear and the rest of my ACT stuff for North Tacoma out.
Right.
And,
right. Okay.
And so, yeah, I've got probably another couple thousand all total.
So here I'm going to give you guys the gift of being able to get a lease option on a contract this week. I'm going to make it really easy for you. Instead of trying to convince sellers that have their house for sale or for rent to do a lease option, why don't you go and search Craigslist for sellers that are already offering their house available for lease option? Okay, and then see if you can negotiate a joint venture where you can get a non-exclusive option, and you can assign that, and you can make $1,000 or $2,000. Let's say that you've got somebody that's got one for lease purchase already.
Mm-hmm.
Find out, ask them about the terms, let them know, ask them about the house, and then let them know that, hey, you are an investor. You're looking for properties that you can get for lease option for your buyers, and just say, hey, would you have interest in doing a joint venture? And you know, I know you're asking $4,000 down, but if somebody came in that was really, you know, well qualified and they only had $2,000 down, would you accept them as a tenant if they, you know, if everything looked great but they only had $2,000? And if you wait for their answer, and if they say yes, then you know that you can get an option to lease option for $2,000 down, and you can go out and you can do your marketing and you can advertise it for $4,000, and you make a $2,000 fee, they get a $2,000 fee, and then you've got your first deal under your belt.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank
there's
you,
a
Mike.
Lot, if there's a lot of properties out there that it mentions lease option in the ad. So don't, you know, you're not trying to, you're trying to have the boat going in the same direction it's been going. You're not trying to steer it. What you're doing is just saying, hey, I'm an investor. I deal with a lot of these tenant buyers, and you know, if one of my buyers came in and was able to, it had 2,000 down, I know you're asking four, but if they had 2,000, would you consider them? Okay, great. Well, why don't we do this? It'll give you some free advertising, and maybe what we can do is joint venture. I can just get a non-exclusive option agreement that I can assign to them. And if I bring in somebody that can pay the 2,000 and they'll pay me a little fee, hey, we both win. How about that? And then you guys can kind of team up on it.
That's a great idea, Mike.
You guys think you can do that?
It's worth a try.
Yes, absolutely.
Sure. Well, we can do that.
So I did that last week with it was a REAPS member for a property in Bremerton. And so, you know, he's marketing it, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to split whatever fee if I can get a buyer for it. So I got that one on a contract. And then so today, just to kind of give a little more, you know, hopefully some motivation, inspiration, I got another property on a contract, and I got this lead because I've had somebody on my buyer's list for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've been seeing my emails, seeing all my lease options, and they actually had a couple of years ago were interested in one of the properties that I had for lease purchase, and they didn't end up buying it, but they stayed on my list. They ended up buying another house. They've only owned the house for about a year, but it's in beautiful condition, and now they may end up moving down to San Diego, and so they need to do something with it. And
wonderful.
Talked to some realtors. Realtors figured that with the selling costs and the realtor commission, they're going to have to come out of pocket. They talked to a property manager about renting it, but they really didn't want to rent it. And they go, gosh, how about that lease-to-own guy that keeps sending me these emails? Let's give him a call. So they called me, and I went and saw the house. You know, they're pretty familiar with what I do just because they get my emails, and,
mm-hmm.
and so I locked it up today. And I locked it up with zero down to them. So any option fee I get, anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000, is going to be
mm-hmm.
in my pocket. The monthly payment is very reasonable. It's a nice house. And I should, this would be, I'd love to have more of these homes because these are ones that I should be able to get it sold pretty quickly. So I guess the moral of that story is, you know, it takes baby steps to kind of get going. But
mm-hmm.
If you can get some properties on a contract
network.
And start sending these out and building a buyer's list, then you're gonna increase the places that you're going to be able to get leads coming in from.
Yes, yes. For
it's
sure.
easier for me because I'm a little more experienced, but, you know, you'll get there with time. It just, you know, you got to get into the game and you got to get one of these under
yes.
your belt. And,
yes.
And,
right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mike. That's great.
But, and Sally, was there anything that you had? I know that we haven't talked in a couple of weeks, so.
I've kind of shifted to the Rios.
Right.
And I've been evaluating the repaired, after repaired value and looking to find enough spread and then making offers.
Sure.
And so that's
where my... Are you doing
these
sight unseen? Are you taking a look at them, or how are you making those offers?
Combination. I've got one in now that's sight unseen, mm-hmm. and it looks like a nice house from everything I figure. And then my realtor is sending me some. So, and then there's some that are auctions that he's sending me, where I can go see it on an open house and then go to an auction later.
Cool. Well, good. So you're in the game. You're making offers, and I think that the biggest thing is you guys are both. Everybody, you're going to find that you're when you've got stuff out there, when you're taking action and you've got offers out there, things just start to happen, and it's kind of like as if by magic. And then you look back and you go, gosh, it took me a long time to get started. I can't believe, you know, it took me that long because now everything is coming much easier. And that's just kind of how it is. There's a lot
mm-hmm.
of friction and a lot of, you know, it feels like you're going through mud trying to get that first dang deal.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then things
yes.
just, it, whatever it is, it just clicks. And, you know, we got the law of attraction out there and
right.
when the universe sees that you,
yes.
you know, you're
mm-hmm.
you're meant for this business, and you can do it. You've decided in your mind that no matter what, you are going to do this, and you're going to be a real estate investor. Then it just things start to happen. So,
at this point, I'm not making more offers than I've got money.
Right.
So I'm waiting to get declined until I go on to the next one, and my real estate guy doesn't think he doesn't. believe in the Ron approach of making 20 offers and see what happens.
All right. I think you need to get a different real estate guy.
Okay. Okay.
Because I agree with Ron. So here's the challenge: is that you should only get 1 in 30 accepted. If you're getting more than 1 in 30 accepted, you're probably offering too much. And you should be able to get those 30 offers in a month. You know, that's going to be, 7 offers a week. And what I do, here's my formula for bank owns. I let my real estate agent know the type of property that I'm looking for. The challenge when working with real estate agents is that realtors, like any commission salesperson, is coin-operated. So they like to do work for people that are going to make them money. And if you're taking up a lot of their time without very much payback, then they're going to get sick of you pretty quick. And so you want to make your real estate agent's job as easy as possible. And so if you guys can figure out the parameters of the type of home you're looking for, the realtor can put that into the MLS. They can set up a saved search for you, and those listings will automatically hit you without the realtor doing anything. Is that what the agent has set up, or is the agent handpicking
those?
Yes,
that's what I gave him my – yes, and it's pretty good. It's
okay.
What I'm getting is stuff that I'd buy.
All right, perfect. So that's step one. You've got that. Step two is to give the real estate agent every piece of information that they're going to need in order to submit those offers. So they're going to need all your corporate information if you're buying in a corporation or LLC. They're going to need a proof of funds that they can keep on hand that they can just email over or fax over with the offer. And I don't know if I want to mention this or not, but I've kind of given my realtor written permission to – I've signed a bunch of blank contracts and where they just can fill in the numbers and get them out quick. But at the very least, if you can find a way that I sign my documents either on my iPad or I can sign a PDF that's emailed to me, so I'm completely paperless. So what that means is I don't have to do any printing and then signing and faxing because that takes a lot of time. What I'm doing is I'm just quickly getting it through email. If I have offers, get my signature zipped up there quick. And so for each property, I'm spending probably no more than 5 minutes. And that's once I make the offer. So I skipped a step. So when the realtor sends the list, I'm going through there and I'm immediately eliminating any homes that I feel are definitely ones I don't want to buy. So I do a quick overview. I look at the ones and see the area, or if there's something about the house where I'm just like, oh, I do not want that property, I'll exit out. And then the ones that are left, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the address. I'm going to do a very quick search for comps. And the easiest way for me to do that is just to go to Zillow. And Zillow is not perfect. Obviously, we know that. But it at least gets you started. And I'll go and I'll hit Zillow. I'll find out what the estimate is there. I might hit up Redfin or another site and just see how that compares. And I'll get a ballpark feel for after repaired value. I'll look at the photos. And when I'm looking at the photos, I'm just kind of in my mind going, all right, well, that kitchen's outdated, so I'm going to have to do a new kitchen. Obviously, new carpet, new paint. I can't quite tell on the roof, but that's a maybe. I know I'll do the exterior paint. And in my mind, I'm mentally adding up what I think the rehab costs are going to be. Now, let me tell you this. If it's going to be a carpet and paint and just cosmetic remodel and everything else is great, you know, it's got new windows, it's got new roof and all that, you're going to spend $15,000, $10,000 or $15,000 minimum. Okay, or 10 minimum, maybe 15. If you got to replace a kitchen, you know, add 7,000 to that. If you got to replace bathrooms, add 3,000 to 4,000 per bathroom after that. If you got to add windows, you know, $400 or $500 a window. If you've got a roof, you're going to add $5,000 to $10,000 for that. And so mentally, I'm just tallying this stuff up. And usually, the rehabs are going to be anywhere from 10,000 for something that is pretty darn ready to go, just needs carpet and paint and new fixtures, all the way up to, you know, 50 or even 60 grand if it's a big house with a lot of stuff that has to get fixed up. And so I will do my formula, 65% of ARV minus repairs, and you'll get a number, and I will put that number in as my offer. And I won't even see the house. I'll do it sight unseen, and I'll have the realtor every week submit 5 to 7 offers, and I try to set it up so the agent doesn't have much time on their end. I don't have much time on my end, because what's going to happen is, you know, 25 out of the 30 are just going to simply, you know, either reject it without a counter, or that they're going to do is they're going to counter, you know, by only dropping it like $2,000 or $3,000. And if we are so far apart on our offers with after the counter, then I just go, all right, we'll just put this on the watch list, and we'll check to see if it's still listed in a month. If the property, if the bank counters back, and they do a big price drop where I think that we're kind of getting in the ballpark, then what I'll do is I'll set up time with my agent to go see the house. I may even bring my contractor so that I can get a better idea for rehab bid. And when I am able to do that, then that is going to give me a I might be able to raise my offer, or I might lower it depending on what I find then. And then I'm submitting that second offer. And so maybe one out of those five we'll come back to a point where we can actually agree on a price. So if you're waiting till things get denied before putting in your second offer, just think, it's gonna, how long does it take to get an offer submitted to them and have them get back to reject or counter? Maybe 2 to 3 days, maybe, or more.
At least, uh-huh.
So if the bank's taking a couple, 2-3 days to get back to you or more, and you're getting 1 out of 30 accepted, then that means that you're going to be, if you're making 7 offers a week, or if you're making an offer every 3 days, then you're going to take 3 months before you're going to have an opportunity to buy a house. If you're not making an offer immediately after getting the first one back, then it's going to take even longer than that. So I think that you're going to do better off, and it's going to be easier on your realtor to put out a bunch and do it in a way that doesn't take much time. And if here's what the realtor is concerned about. Well, what if you get 2 accepted? Right? Is that what you're concerned?
Right. He wants my checks.
So I'll tell you this. A bank is never going to accept your offer. They're always going to counteroffer. I've never had a bank just blindly accept an offer I've made. So the thought of getting 2, 3, or 4 offers accepted, it's not going to happen. Also, you're going to have an inspection contingency with every single one of these.
Right.
So you're never going to be at risk of losing your earnest money. And your earnest money is not going to go live until you get mutual acceptance.
Right.
So you're not going to have to put up a bunch of cash on 4 or 5 different houses.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the whole thing about getting started with a real estate agent that kind of understands investors and everything. And you know, you don't have to do it the way I do it, but in my experience in working with other people, especially the ones that go and see every single property, you get burned out really quick. And the realtor is going to get burned out really quick because there's a lot of competition for bank owns. And if you're taking an hour and a half for each home to look at them before making offers, somebody's going to quit. It's either going to be you or the real estate agent.
Hey, Mike, you said you sign on your iPad. Well, you said you can sign a PDF. Does it have to be on an iPad, or is it a certain app that you use?
No. So, okay, there's a couple options. I use a Mac. I love Apple laptops. And when you open up a PDF on a Mac, it's the coolest thing. You know those little cameras that are above the screen? The little, like, webcam that's above the computer screen on a laptop? Well, what Apple does is it allows you to sign a piece of paper, hold it up in front of that little camera, and it will take a picture of the signature, and it'll put it on the document.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And you can sign, you can sign 3, 4, 5, 6 different times and save those signatures within the computer, and you can save your initials within the computer.
Nice.
And then if you ever want to sign a document, it literally, it's like you click where you want it to sign, and it drops in that saved signature. You go to the next one, you click,
nice.
Drop in the same or a different one. So if you don't have a Mac, Adobe Acrobat, or I'm sorry, Adobe Acrobat will allow you to.
So Adobe allows you to do that? Okay.
Yeah, the professional version, I think.
Yeah, I bought the version. I haven't had a chance to go through it. Okay, well, that's good info. Great.
Yeah, and so I don't use it anymore, but I remember when I was trying to set up the signatures on Adobe Professional, they have an actual digital signature that you can do, which it's like a digital stamp. It's really, I guess, I want to say like real professional, real legal. Actually, it puts like a verification thing that says that this is a valid signature or something like that beside where it put it in. But you can also create custom stamps, and you can create custom stamps out of images. And so you can create it. You can scan and upload the image of your signature and create a custom stamp. And at that point, it doesn't have all the extra little writing that Adobe puts on that verifies the signature.
Okay.
But I don't think you need that for real estate document or for, like, the personal document.
Okay, all right. Well, and I've also noticed that when you and I had gone out and we looked at a house and we went back to the coffee shop and you even pulled up, I think it was John L. Scott that you pulled up and you were looking at comps, you were able to view pictures of the comps that were on John L. Scott, inside pictures. I can't do that on my PC.
So it was only on the iPad that I was able to do that?
Yes. Well, that's
what
you had.
You should be able to do on that.
I'm not able to do that on my PC. I'm not, you know, it's just
You're not able to pull up old pictures of sold houses, you mean?
Yes.
Okay,
right.
So here's the deal.
I can't
either. Only active or pending listings will have all the photos. Typically, after it's sold on John L. Scott website, they will only have the front photo.
I thought you pulled up sold pictures, didn't you?
Well, it's possible that I went to Zillow because Zillow still keeps them up for a while until it's removed.
Okay, I thought you did.
Sure.
Okay, maybe I missed. Okay.
Here's the thing. I could have misspoken, and maybe on the iPad, for some reason, it's pulling it differently, and you can. I don't know. I'll have to check. I'm giving you guys a challenge, and you've got a little bit over a month. My challenge is to get one of these under contract, find a tenant buyer, and collect your fee. You have plenty of time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if the first person that does it, I'll buy an iPad, the iPad mini that's supposedly supposed to be coming out and hopefully being announced in October. And so,
awesome.
All right. And then you'll have a cool, fun thing to take with you and help you with your business. And, we'd be JVing on it anyway. So I'm really excited to work with, you know, whoever can get one of these things done. So
very cool.
So I got to go. I got to eat dinner now. So
thank you, Mike.
If anything else, shoot me an email. I'll get this call recording up there on the website. And so your assignment, find somebody on Craigslist that already has their house offered for lease option, rent to own.
Okay.
And as long as I'm not a real estate agent, call them. Ask about what are the minimum monthly payment and term, and find out if they're asking for a down payment. And if they are, see if you can get it low enough that you can add a wholesale fee on top of that and offer to JV with them.
Okay, awesome. Okay, thanks, Mike.
All right. Hey, have a good evening. See you guys.
Okay, bye-bye. You too.